Amen. Hallelujah. We've been talking about the path to greatness, how you can move in your life and move into greatness and where God wants you to be. We said it's about your responsibility, it's your choice, it's your responsibility, it's you carry it as a matter of a choice, you make a choice, and then you begin to run with that choice. And I've stayed on a particular path, I think 2-3 times I've come to minister, I've stayed on a particular path when I talk about the many adversity to greatness, many adversity that leads to greatness. And that is very important, part of this, of the road to greatness. You cannot achieve greatness and be all that God wants you to be without these many adversities. You tell people about what you've been through. The thing about greatness, it's something that very few people something about greatness is you become a kind of a person, and it sometimes becomes difficult to be able to help other people become a kind of a person. Because the thing about greatness is that when you arrive at that point, at that place, you forget where you are coming from. That's why some people tend to say he has forgotten that he was one of us. He has passed through that pain, through that one on the other side. That if you ask him, you stand before this young man and say, "How did you become all this?" He waves it off by the grace of God. He waves it off as, "God just helped me." He doesn't remember the pain anymore. And that's something. And so that creates a kind of a bias in the hearts of the younger people, people who listen to him, and people who are under, who wants to, or who aspire to be great. Because they now say, "All right, by the grace of God." Come on, are you in church? I'm making great sense. I'm trying to show you something. It's a problem. And the idea that I go to pastors' conferences, you go to several pastors' conferences, and they tell you about how the church, they tell you what they're doing, and tell you they just bought this, they just bought that in the church. I had a pastor talking about stuff he just acquired. I mean, he talked about thousands of dollars. You know, a very young, cool guy, love the guy. And talk about that. So when we converted, I was looking at millions, and I was doing stuff and all that. And then you get to say, it affects you somehow. But then you get to another pastor's conference, and the guy is telling you, "Hold on there, come on, push and fight. I remember when we were 10 in my church." So you is a lie. Say it's a lie. This guy couldn't have had that. You see, some people are able to bring you to that point. Some people, because of where they stand, they can't bring you to that point. They can't remember. And it's true. And it's true. And I want you to appreciate that again today. And so you look at somebody and you're relating, and then you say, "I just got there somehow. You need to stop." And he's telling you like that, telling you, "Oh, you're not doing this, the grace of God." I didn't need to do anything. You know, the grace of God just lifted us. You know, the grace of God, when they spiritualize it, they tend not to tell you how all they went through, and how they went through a tough time to get to where they are, and how God helped them in the process to that very place. And so there is something. I didn't originally coin this word, but I love it so much. It's somebody coined it, the pangs of greatness, the pangs of success. You know, I like it first, but when you first said it, I said that's cool. The pangs of success. Success has those pains and those things attached to it. And so you don't say success just comes. There's the pangs of it. There's the pangs. There's the pain that takes you there. And we started to talk about that. I have talked about it. I've talked about it. As soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth. You know, as soon as he travailed, when you begin to travail, then you get into all that God has in store for you. Hallelujah. You need to appreciate that. You need to understand that as a Christian, as a believer in Christ. We said, as soon as Zion travailed, then we've not looked at that, quoted it, but we should just turn our scriptures there, do that, then I move on today, and most likely finish there. In Hebrews chapter number, I can't share everything about greatness in a single service, a single Sunday, or a single series. But this series, there are things in my heart that God wants me to communicate to you, and these are the things I'm endeavoring to share with you. In Hebrews chapter number 12, it is obvious that Jesus did not know about success without work. It is obvious, because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 2, he said for us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So the issue here is that you see Jesus today seated at the right hand of God. We see Jesus today. We come together in church and we celebrate Jesus. He is seated today at the right hand of God. But the Bible says he endured the cross. You see, that thing there, he endured because he despised shame. So there is the element of shame. You know, most of the time I preach, and I had the issue with somebody, just one person, although he's ignorant, a lot of people could be. But I was telling you about the last time, I think sometime weeks ago I was sharing on it. I was telling about what I did and all that. And there's an element of shame of having to run here, run there, sweating, and you're looking like, that's why I'm suffering and all that. But it's not there today, but it was there then. So that talks about Jesus despising the shame. The shame that you have to go through. Become great. Today, at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee bows. But the Bible talks about shame. The Bible talks about the cross. So how do we talk about greatness and sitting down without walking? Without shame, without cross, without enduring. The Bible says he endured the cross. To endure something, you have to deal with something pitiful, something painful. Something not interesting, something not, you check the dictionary, some, I don't know how everybody does it, but mine put the autonym, synonym is the same word, autonym is against, autonym is enjoy. Do you understand? Autonym, against, that the opposite of endure is enjoy. So either you endure it, or you enjoy it. So in this case, the Bible now says Jesus endured the cross. It means he wasn't enjoying it at all. You know, can I say something here? It's going to push me away from what I really want to say, what I'm saying. But I want to say it, and maybe I'll spend a minute or two to explain it. The devil does not mind you being a Christian. He's no longer bothered if that you are a Christian. He's bothered now, and he is bothered when you become an effective Christian. He doesn't mind you being a Christian. That's what people don't understand. And so when I'm sharing these things, I'm talking to you like this. People don't understand, and I say, let him do so and great God. Listen, all those are one thing. We're talking about being effective. We're talking about having living proof of your Christianity. Because if there's no living proof of your Christianity, he doesn't mind. Because we get a lot of people who say, I'm a Christian. That's not his problem. It's that his problem is with effective Christians. It's with Christians with living proof of Christianity. So you have to open up your heart and receive and hear what I'm saying. Because we're trying to take you from a place of being a Christian to a place of being an effective Christian. That's true. That's why I share what I share. That's why I'm sharing what I'm sharing. Because you have to be a Christian with proof. Because we are witnesses. A witness without a proof is it? I'm a witness. I wonder if you can raise up your hand now and say, I'm a witness. I wish I was there when he did stuff. But there's no proof. He doesn't mind. He's happy. He's laughing. So we have to really work at this thing. So listen to me. Absorb what I'm saying to you. Try to take you somewhere. Hallelujah. There are very few Christians with proof. And those are the Christians that are making impact. The others, no proof. And he doesn't mind. So you say, but there's no proof. He doesn't mind anymore. Let them just start carrying the title. As far as they are witnesses without proof, as far as they are witnesses without power, as far as they are witnesses without credibility. Hallelujah. So we come to Jesus and the cross, and this walk, and this thing that you have to do, and this pressure that you have to go through to enter into greatness. So when you look at your life and the structure and the things that you are doing, and you see something you are enduring and you are pushing into, next week I'm going to do something on faith. I think it's in this direction, so I'll do that next week. So you are enjoying and you are pushing into, and then you see shame, and then you have to despise it. You are pressing into something great. You know you are going somewhere. So that is a part of the price to pay. The Bible said, Jesus said something. He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pay the Lord of the harvest that he may send more laborers. So Jesus, again, in that statement, it tells us he's not of the opinion that there will be no labor. There will be no work. He didn't say the harvest will come in. The harvest will come in. By the grace of God, the harvest will come in. By the grace of God, the power of God will bring in the harvest. Because that's what we have today in church.
We talk about outreach and we talk about all we have to do. You said, no, if this pastor is a real man of God, the harvest will come in. You see, you are a contrary to Christ. Because Christ says I should pray for more laborers. He doesn't say if I'm a real man of God, then the people should leave the church. The only way it works is that the people will go out and bring the harvest in. Laborers bringing in the harvest. So you are contrary to God when we don't understand God. That's the reason why Bible says two of God I said to be in agreement. A lot of believers are not in agreement with God in their own lives. And today, believers are the group of people who want something for nothing. They just want something, but they don't want to do anything. They want to labor, not even labor in church, not labor. They just feel that Jesus missed it there. The harvest is plentiful. God will bring in the harvest into his house. The Lord will bring in the harvest. Let's pray. Let us have a prayer meeting that the Lord will bring in the harvest. So Jesus says, no, the laborers are few. I need more hands on the field. I need more people walking. So Jesus was not no walk or grace, just float and get into bring the door. If their house is going to be full, then there's going to be laborers. Come out and bring them. Bring them to that my house will be full. Bring everybody. They have to go out and bring them. If the house is going to be full, there's going to be laborers. But if the house is going to be full, there's going to be the power of God and just bringing in the harvest. That's not how it works. So if your bank account is going to be rich, if you're going to have millions in your account, you see, I'm up now and then people are zoning me off. If you're going to get, if he says that there's money out there, but you got to labor to bring the money in. You have to structure, you have to plan, you have to struggle, you have to do stuff, you have to go somewhere, you have to walk 8 to 5. And get stuff and bring in the harvest. So there's money out there. But what we do, we say we pray. We pray for the money to come into your account without doing anything. So their goal is that you come to church, you sit down, and as soon as you do this, you go home, and then your money just keeps growing. Just check your account, it's 2.5 million. Then you check again. Just that you say that's the grace of God. God's not aware of that. He doesn't know what you're talking about. He couldn't even bring many souls to glory without suffering. He couldn't. You understand? He could not. His son had to come and die. He had to suffer. He couldn't bring us to where we are today without paying the price. What about Christianity now? And when we get to Christianity, we talk about no price. That is not correct. Even though it is free, somebody else paid. That's what you must understand. So we can't do that. We do not so there's no price. Jesus himself again said, who is he among you who wants to build a tower that does not sit down and count the cost? He talks about cost. We think about moving into business without a price. It's wrong. It's wrong. Anybody teaches you otherwise is wrong. It's wrong. It's leading our country in a very bad direction. And Christians are involved because Christians now sit down and all they want to do is prayer meetings. Miracle meetings, that meeting, and they don't want to do anything. And then they get to do something evil because they must do something. They must do something. They must do something to get the money. There's somebody says, bring stuff. He says, hey, we know they go to church, but you don't say, it's not easy now. Because he doesn't want to put in the work. The work. He doesn't want to go get that shop, that small shop there, and sit down there. My friends will laugh at me. What will say ministry? We put something outside there. We Christian Life Center there. And we send message, just message one very funny place. And then people are passing and laughing at us. They are laughing. The shame, you look at the people who laugh at us. The way to start is to start, want to just go big without starting. Want to go big without starting. If you say, Pastor, then we are just somewhere now. I don't understand this service. But the first service was one person. So what are you telling me? I should sit down and cry. We come from somewhere. But I'm not going to stand before you and tell you that every single day. No, that's way in the past now. I push all the great things. So if you start from here, somebody wants to now start ministry and wants to start from here. Let's approach by good afternoon, sir. We are not going to see one stature. We need 15 of your chairs. If you can bring us your book, it's a book. Huh? I say you're not ready. People should come and praise the Lord. Yes. Take the shame. That is your church, sir. I agree to you, sir. I'm coming there very soon. It's shameful to not have equipment. It's shameful to not have stuff. It's not interesting.
It's kind of a shame. Look at it, but we have to endure through it. We have to endure through it. That's what I'm talking about. But we get there, doesn't matter. Let's just start from somewhere. That's not how we start. We come from somewhere. And so you have to appreciate this thing in your life. You have to appreciate the process. God is very much interested in the process. He himself can avoid it. I don't know why we want to avoid it. And then today we just talk about grace. We're not willing to wake up. We're not willing to read. We're not willing to do anything. The book is in front of you. We'll read. We're not willing to apply it. We're not willing to press. And so if you want to achieve greatness in life, you must press. You must press in. You must push. He had to get off, he had to push. We sing the song, he left his throne in glory. Came down to earth, lived as a man, and died a shameful death. And then he got us. And then he says, for nothing. For nothing. Tell Jesus it's for nothing. Tell Jesus it's for nothing. You can't tell Jesus it's for nothing. He will show you. The nail scars are still there. The guy rose up again from the dead. He came to Tom and said, put your hand. He's still there. Jesus took that thing into heaven. That's the proof of labor. Oh, come on. He still took the proof of labor. The proof of suffering. He's still with it. When he rose up again, his body could have been perfectly glorified. Nail scars, everything gone. Smooth stuff. The guy that can pass through wall can't remove the nail scars. Come on. He can't remove the nail scars. Not removing the nail scars. That's proof of work. That's proof of my death. That's proof of suffering. We say there's no suffering today. Come on. If you're going to go into God, I tell you the truth in Christ and align not, you have to press through a lot of stuff. You got to suffer stuff. You got to trek from here and there, push stuff, there, carry this guy's stuff, say thank you, sir. Bow down to somebody, do this, attend, do all that. And press in. And when you get into that place, you look back. They say, what did you have? He says, just the grace of God. That's what it is. I'm telling you. You can't stand before me now, I'll tell you I suffer. I don't say you suffer. What's the meaning? And a point really gets to, and a minister first said this many years ago, and I appreciated it then, but I can't tell you I appreciate it as much as I do now. Then time will come, we will not be able to relate. That's why sometimes we even go to some places, we go to some churches, we can't relate to the man. He's talking totally off. Because of where he is. He doesn't feel you anymore. He says, Pastor, I'm just trying to get money. Trying to get money. You know the meaning of trying to get money when he spends over half a million a day. That's normal. A day, buy this, do this, do that, do that. Then, in that sense, what you say, you have to try. I don't understand you. You're talking to different. You just be prepared to have somebody who is there and can still understand what it means not to have food. Because, I mean, you are telling me you can eat. I'm wondering, what do you mean you can't eat? It's not possible. And I mean it. It's not a human being cannot not be able to eat. I don't say, I don't have money to eat. I hear it is like, it's an impossible thing. And you get to the point where you don't blame the person for not being able to eat. Say, it's your fault. Somehow it's your fault. You have to understand that it's possible. You can't remember when you two were just there. You can't remember after giving birth. What's the problem? You say, pain. I was in pain yesterday. What I was in pain yesterday. Look at the child. You can't remember. That's what happens. And so you have to wake up. And so I'm telling you, it's a part of the process. Because you might have dealt with a lot of people who are not who don't tell you it's a part of the process. As a student, I bought Gary, I bought granite. I knew there was not going to be money for food. So I just bought Gary and granite. Sugar, safe and stress. Real life. So when you don't tell me pastor and love him, so I just laugh. I can remember, it's still there. It's a part of my own calling. So it's really very difficult for me to just walk away. I still feel you. And you say, let's hurriedly solve the problem. Let's not hurriedly solve the problem. Get through the process to the other side. Pressing. Let it make you a kind of a person. Let it make you a kind of a person. Hallelujah. Are you still in church? So Jesus endured the cross. He endured the cross. What are you enduring? What are you enduring? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 24, I don't know if we read that scripture at all. My note is on top of my notes, but I think I pushed it down. So let's just take your Bibles there. Proverbs 24, I don't know if you read it. I want a church of people who are up and who are walking, who are doing stuff, and who know. Come on. Are you here? I want to say something very powerful. Who know that these are pangs? I said these are pangs. But they are crossing to greatness. You are not saying we are dead, you just stay there forever. You don't stay there forever. Jesus is no longer on the cross. That's why the best emotion of Christ today is not really cross. If you didn't want to depict Christ that you're wearing a cross, I think you are in error. I'm among the people who think the cross is an error. Because he's no longer near the cross. Do you understand? We can't forget the cross. But we can depict him today. He's seated today. So if you're to depict Christ and want to put Christ in our churches, we need to put somebody sitting in glory. We'll tell people this is how he got there through the cross. That's the truth. Because if we keep him there, we stay there. We say, that's how we are. All of us, hopeless people, nice people. We're not going to go anywhere. No, I'm trying to tell you that the cross is a process. Do you understand? Where you are going through and where you are right now is a process. And the people who get up to walk and who know that this is a process. I'm going to own it one day. So they're pressing. They're pressing. So as you are pressing and you are putting stuff, I need my people to know. They don't think that you are, oh, don't say, oh, we are gone. Oh, look at him. Don't say that. We have all come from that road. All of us must pass through that road. Everybody must. I can tell you all my story, but some of you say, but I'm telling you, everybody must pass through that road. Everybody must. So if you are on that road right now, don't be despair, don't disconnect, don't cry, don't be down. I'm telling you that you are passing through the pangs of success. It's the pangs of success. If you are passing through that road, it's normal. So you cross it. So you are seeing yourself. That was the hope for the joy that was set before him. Come on. So if you are dead now, it's for the joy set before you. Joy set before you. So you see the joy set before you. I wake up in the morning, I just go. You go in the morning and say, I have class. What's the meaning of have class? What's the meaning? I have class. It doesn't make sense to me. 2010 is the last time I had class. So you're just making like Greek. So I have class, I have stuff, and I'm here and free. And when I display that freedom, it's as if she has a problem. But does she really have a problem? No. She's going through the same process I went through. So somebody in 300 level now, say, I still have 2 years to go. Boy, you don't want to read this 6 year course. As a 400 level, when our mates were doing final year brethren, we started clinicals. That's the first time you go to the clinic at 400 level. People were wearing final year jackets and doing final year. We were going to the clinicals at 400 level. That's how we just said it. So, but now there is something wrong with us. No, nothing is wrong with us. We are going through a process. We are going through a process. That's the idea. So, nothing is wrong with you. You are facing challenges. You are facing. Don't say, I wish I had a car. We didn't have a car yesterday. See, I just got it. What are you thinking? You will get a car too. Just now. I'm telling you, you get cars. You have cars. It's not my big deal. Don't worry. Because of where you are passing through the process. You all get there. You all get there. So don't think something is wrong with you. Don't think you are in error somehow. Don't think that this process is not supposed to be that we should just get cast. No, you will soon get cast, but you have to go through that process. You have to go through the pangs. The pangs of greatness. It's real. It's real. I said I walked. I walked from one place to another place to another place. I mean, you understand. You walk here. You close here. If I go and just drive from here to here. I mean, we were having praise in church yesterday. They forgot something in the wall. It was a few minutes to start. I said, come, let's go. Bam, picked up his thing. Bam, came back. Just about to where praise in church started. Cool. You can't know to get a bus or hop to do that. But that route, I'm telling you, I kept it for over 2 years. Bus, hop from bus. Yeah. Over 2 years. Don't think we just got there and I say, oh, just the pastor. Nah, it's nice. Let's do this. We just go. You just say, I don't know. God should do something for me. God should do something for you. You are going to the banks. You pass through the cross and you two will sit down very soon. Come on, say amen. Proverbs chapter number 24, verse number 10. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. You see that now. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So there is the day of adversity. There is the day of adversity. He said you must not faint in the day of adversity. You are supposed to have strength to carry you through the day of adversity. See, always respond. Don't forget this going for. They are responding and they are getting something. People's lives are going so you think I'm sharing money with them. They are getting what I'm saying and they are getting better. You respond. Get what I'm saying. That's why you came to church. Here, I'm trying to make a point. Simple verse, but powerful point. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. It means that you're supposed to have strength to pass through the day of adversity and come out after adversity. And so the difference between great people, I'm telling you, what I'm saying is very simple. I'm telling you, the difference between great people and people who don't amount to anything is that the great people, when their day of adversity came, they had enough strength to go through it. They came out on the other side. You say, oh, the man is a great man. The other man, he fainted in the day of adversity. So he could not cross to the other side. That's the problem. If you see somebody who has arrived at some place, somebody who has not, that is the critical factor. That is the critical factor. That's why you get somebody who says, winners don't quit, quitters don't win. If you don't quit, you stand a chance to win. So, if you fail in the day of adversity, let's take this pulpit to be the day of adversity. You are coming here, present routine, and then you enter into the day of adversity. Top times. And you faint, and you stop there. You say your strength is small. The day of adversity is the key here. But the way he couches that statement means that there are other people who get to the day of adversity and pass. You say their strength is big. Then you call them what? Great people. Rich man, big man, so now big man, leave that man a big man. Strength is small. So that thing, that job adversity is a real thing. All of us face it. Don't say he didn't face it. No. Everybody faces it. Everybody faces it. There are many adversities to greatness. If you really sit with a great person and he wants to, is ready. He has not totally forgotten because I believe there's a point, Sha. You can't remember. The day of adversity, it comes to everybody. You face that thing, you cross it to the other side and you enter into it. You enter into greatness. So while you are going through adversity, don't complain. Strengthen yourself. And this is important. This is why we come to church and I'm telling you this key because you might not know. You might just be there and you are walking. You are walking. You are walking for somebody. You are walking and walking and walking. I think I left school. I thought I left school 2010. This is 2019. I think it's 3 years plus. So from 2010 to 2019, let us say 3.5 years. It's 9 years. 3.5 years. I've been working for myself. During many, how many years is that? 4.5? 5.5? 5.5. In the many 5.5, I was looking for somebody else. 5.5. So don't say, Pastor, 2 years now. What's the meaning of 2 years now? What's the meaning? 5.5. At least till today. Working for somebody. Some classmates, some there. Working for people who pay less than what they should pay. Now, if I'm not going to the office, I don't go. If I'm going by 10, I go by 10. If I'm not coming at all, I'm not coming. You can't beat me. So don't tell me that we came here today. That's the problem. You don't say, so that's the end. No. You pay your man out of it. That's the problem. Please. If there are banks of success. So take it like that. Then look to the other side. Endure it. Endure. You must enjoy something for greatness. You must look to greatness. You enjoy something. Hallelujah. I want to touch this final point because I want to just do something else. Let me see. Take your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 quickly. Let me show you the picture of the man. You may admit this is what he went through, but you will sit down and say, he just came here. No. I was showing a picture of the church many years ago when all of you, you were doing this. Huh? You see the people there? You see me? You'll be amazed. You'll be wondering, so this thing has been this long. Yes, it has been this long. but you want to get here tomorrow morning. The guy said, God has called me. Then tomorrow morning, God has called him. Yes, I said, God has called me to open a global ministry. I said, yes. He said, so global, I'm going around the world. Then we're just getting a venue. We're looking for, we're trusting God that God can use people like you to, what do you mean? What do you mean? God uses people like us. Then you just buy people, buy just, they want to buy equipment. We are buying equipment to reach the world. No, we are buying equipment to reach our village. Why did we start up? We didn't have equipment. You're not willing to start. You just want to arrive at the same place where I am, and you just arrive there. Bah. Two of us just now say God has done it. You use collect from all of us, then you just be the same. If they help all of us, tell us where we are coming from. You understand? Listen, that is the key. I can't stay there any longer. Let's move on. Some point chapter number 4, verse number 17. Verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For our light affliction, which is for a moment. You see that now? He said, Paul said our light affliction. You know what I mean by light affliction? As he says, light affliction. These afflictions we are going through, small things. Small things. Are you ready to see the small things? The one he calls light affliction. We are ready just last week, but let's read this again this week. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Just go to chapter 11. Just go to chapter 11. You see, it's light affliction. He said, for our light affliction is for a moment. It works for us a far more exceeding weight of glory. See light affliction, huh? Verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, more above measure, in prison more frequently, in death often. For the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. We were saying 5 times received 40 stripes minus 1. That means he received 39 stripes. 5 times. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I have been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of the Gentiles. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and toil. In sleeplessness often. In hunger and thirst. In fasting often. In cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. He said, for our light affliction. Our light affliction. You call that light affliction. What do you call your own? You don't have affliction. You have not started affliction. Because Paul says this is light affliction. If this is light, let's do science now. If this is light affliction, you have Gary. You make concussion rise. You are good. If Paul got what you have, you know, you will say he didn't have affliction. Because the man said he had light affliction with all these things. Light. So let's scale it. If you put Paul's own on scale and put your own, if Paul sees you, go slap you. We just say, wait. Now, you just want to complain about Guy, man, sit up. Guy, more they go. Say, guy, never bath. He said, you know how many days we never bath? Say, guy, I mean, hunger deal. Pastor, I'm not easy. Say, guy. He said, are you fasting? Say, no. You know, he separated fasting and hunger and terror. He separated it. He fasted sometimes. He was fasting a lot. Then the attendant girl was hungry. It's not the other day. Let me tell you one thing. Most people don't know the 40s of a pastor. Most people don't know. You just wait to be a pastor. Most of the time, because a pastor has to come like this, you don't know what is inside. Most people don't know. You know, and all that. But that's what the man says again. And then, like I said last week, we just name our children Paul. What's the son's name? Paul. What's the son's name? Peter. But what do they go through? Because now we enjoy it. But the people who crafted that name, reason why the name is something, is because of this man. You would have named your children Paul if this man was not. You name your children one obscure Bible name, one that. No, that's bad. I mean, there are guys that would even just there. But everybody, if you count the number of Paul to Matthias, there are more Pauls. But Matthias is a good guy, didn't do bad. But you want to give your child the highest. But the highest comes with the greater suffering. Are you still here? I tell you why nobody can be greater than Christ. You know why? His suffering is for billions. No pastor, no apostle, prophet, nobody can ever be greater than that. He suffered for people that were in the past, some of people in the future. I can only serve my generation. He served all generations forever and ever and ever. Nobody can be greater than him, no matter the miracle we do. Not just because he closed, you understand something? The twelve disciples, the 12 apostles, I can be better than Peter. If me and Peter stand, I heard the best. But what Peter did at that time, maybe I would have been among the people who were stoning Jesus. I wonder. They believed the man as at that time when there was nothing to believe. Today, people come to church now and say, praise the Lord. You know, I keep coming to church here. I like church. When we started with two people and doing bench, he said there was chairs. When we bought our first white chairs, it was nine. Nine white chairs. And we saved. We gathered money. We're saving. But how many chairs can we buy now? I said, go and buy it. See, let's wait till I say, no. We'll buy it now. We'll put bench aside. Our members will sit on the bench. First amount will sit on white. We have more chairs now than we have people. We can still buy 10 next week if we want to. Without doing anything. Come on. Hallelujah. If you are taking notes, then you have to move to something else. If you must arrive at greatness, you must not solo it. I don't want to stay there any longer. I'm done. If you don't get the point, get the message, listen to it 5 times, you get the point. If you must arrive at greatness, we say it's your responsibility, you must look at your choices, you must understand the many adversities to greatness. Number 4, then to be number 4, you must not solo it. You can't solo it solo. Solo on your own. Don't do it on your own. God's design for you and I to arrive at our destinies, it does not involve soloing it, doing it on your own. It doesn't. He puts people in your paths, your associations, the people around you. He designed you in such a way to have a head, to have somebody over you to help you. He designed you in such a way to have people around you to help you. When you pray, if you have gone home, say amen. Alright. When you pray and you ask God for something in your life, I want to tell you, and then I'll just use some scriptures to show you, but this is something I can teach in detail, and I have done it in detail before. Is that when you pray, you ask God for something or you are desiring anything, it comes into your life in the form of a person. God's answer to every problem is a person. It is not a method. We use method. God uses people. We use money. God uses people. We use systems. God uses people. He wants to save the world. He saved the world through a person, a man. He wants to bring in something into this world. He brings it in through a man. In the Old Covenant, you find that when Abraham was to receive the promise of the child, God came in form of a man to speak that word. It must be released by a person. When you are praying, oh Lord God, and lead me to my next level. This is a very important. This is the last I want to share. I want to move to something else. So follow me, please. I will try to just have my fingers few minutes I have. When you are praying, oh God, lead me to the next level. Lord, increase me, Lord. Increase me, Lord. Increase my greatness. What God does immediately in answer, in response to that prayer, is to bring somebody your way who would give you information or tools. Let me use tools. Who will bring the tools that you require to carve yourself into your next level? That's the principle. All right, just here, take it from me as a pastor. I will show you one of those things now. So God's system is to send a messenger. If many of the children of Israel are praying, they need deliverance. He was not going to use a ball or cloud to envelope them lift them up into the cloud and transfer them to that place. He will give birth to his own. He will bring in a person. That's why we can stand and tell everybody sitting here that you are called by purpose. He brings you into life to solve. Some people are global. Their influence must. They were born to touch every part of this world. If you go to my father's village in Ibaku, you say don't know they know. Now, some of you, you might not, so you're not going to say so global. No. You might not now be global, but your influence is to touch somebody's life. If your influence could directly be your husband, you are born for that man's life. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if he foresees a problem, he creates a person. That's why that is how he responds. He doesn't say let's start a new method. He doesn't start a new method. He doesn't go to the new method. He starts a breed. He wants to change Adam, and the effect of all that Adam did, he brought Christ. He could wave all that Adam did. He could use a method of killing goats. The method of killing goats won't solve it. He says, I want to solve the problem for real. Let's bring in a human being. So in response to your prayers, in response to your cry, God, so in response to your next level, because we are praying, Lord God, this is my next level. In response to your next level is not a something. It is a person. You say, Pastor, I got a contract. You got a contract through a person. Do you understand? That man needed to need that product for you to need to have to supply it. So he creates the void in the person so that you can fill it up. Somehow, it is a person. So if you must move to your next level, you must get tools. You must get material. Then the person will give you money. You will go to his house and work, and he give you money. So it's a person. So that's why when you tell somebody who serves you, thank you. You are not committing an error. The thank you is because he needed to do that for you to be here. If I buy biscuits, I tell you thank you. If you don't sell that biscuit, I have to travel to go and buy it. My house is such a funny place. If you start, I don't know, that's what many people do. If you are doing one thing, everybody does it. But in my place, if I want to buy a charge card, I have to come out of my house, wear shirt and trousers and travel. Yes. Nobody. I mean travel. I'm not saying, I have to pass at least 5 houses. If you come out, you understand what I'm saying? Somebody now starts to sell a charge card in a shop, she does saloon by my side. So I come out of the house, I just go to the next compound, I want to buy a charge card, 200 naira, she gives me, I thank you very much, and I go. I say, what is thank you for? She says, yeah, yeah, yeah. If she doesn't render that service, I am going to trek. Do you understand? So, rendering service, that person has to come to solve a problem. The real solution to everything is the person. Who invented phone that we can now talk over the phone? I will talk to Pastor Frank today about everything in Lagos. As if I am in Lagos, he can even snap pictures and show me. It's a person. Everything is done by person. So when God wants to lead you to your next level, he brings a man into your life. When God wants to bring forth Isaac, he could not. I'm going to show you. I can't touch scripture. I don't have time for that now. He could not bring forth Isaac by word from the sky. God communicated to Abraham directly. But in bringing forth Isaac, he came. He ate and said, by this time next year. If that was God. So not a prophet. It was God himself. You see it now. He came and ate, spoke the word, and then left. He had to come. So, when God, this is important, because most of the time we don't understand these things. So, when we understand it, I'll not show you two points of it. The two points of this principle is that when God wants to better you, now, in essence, you have to get better, improve, you are moving to your next level. If you must move to your next level, you must be a better person. He will now bring somebody into your life who will begin to shape you, create crisis inside of you by words, by stimulation, by correction, by rebuke. Now, all that rebuke is designed to make you a kind of a person so that you can now enter into your next level. But the problem with us and why people don't enter into greatness. I can close this service now. Can I finish my thoughts? Please. The reason why many people don't enter into greatness is this. We turn our backs on the person who comes into our life to create crisis. Who upsets us. Who we pray God give me on that level. But when God asks us, all right, I'm bringing somebody who will catalyze.
who will create that crisis in you, that discomfort, and begin to talk to you about things you hitherto did not know, that will make you comfortable with this level, that will push you to your next level. We turn our back on that person and we talk to somebody else who smiles at us and relaxes at us and says, "Ah, brother, let's go tonight, let's do that, let's do that." And then unwittingly you miss your next level. And then you come to church on Sunday morning and you pray again. You pray again. That's where you are. We keep praying the prayer, but we avoid the people who catalyze and who cause that discomfort and that change in our life. When we see people who have advanced more than us, instead of us to begin to feel the emptiness and the desire for greatness now supposed to be there inside of us, we quickly quench it by moving in with our friends and dissing. So instead of people to allow, again, you can be angry because people get angry, but I don't know how to do it any better. If there's someone that can do it better, good luck. Instead of you to allow my life to stimulate your life, you get angry with me. You solve it. You solve your problem by getting angry with Pastor M. You see it now. You just get angry. If you can get angry with me, you are praying for God that God will make you a better Christian. You are praying that God will put more fire in your life. You are praying that there will be more, that there will be more zeal for God. You prayed it. You said, "This year I wanted more." You said, "This year I want to live for you. Father, I want to live for you. I want to serve you." Then Pastor Leo comes and begins to push you and query you and say, "Why is it that you are supposed to do this? You are supposed to do this?" Then you get angry with him. Because he is the one designed now to create and catalyze that inside of you so that you can go back and be uncomfortable and push yourself to your next level. But you do that, then you go down into people who don't have a bigger problem with. So how can you ever not become that great Christian you want to be? So somebody says you want to be a great Christian. Let me tell you what God does. God brings you to one pastor church. In just 1 week. I love this church. He does 2 weeks. Boy, I'm in love with this church. 1 month. I'm still coming up. I love this church. No, I'm going somewhere. Somebody else is in my mind, actually. 1 full year. Kalabosuke lemaya. I'm pushing. I'm still pushing. No, it's more. I will carry you as much as you want to be carried. Then, suddenly, I beg. Pool party setting. Other things setting, cinema setting. Exactly. They will not call you as a ministry because you say you want more and we are helping you get more. You are already getting more. We see you know. We now begin to tell you, why did you do that? Why did we hate that way? Why would you be so? See, and you miss the meaning because of that? That's wrong. We are upsetting you. But your prayer last year was that I want to be, I know God's calling upon my life, that God has called me to do something. So we came into your life to carry you there. But because we began to upset you, because the only way you move from one level to the other level is to be upset. You don't understand what I'm saying. I'm telling you, that's the only way. See, you get tired of one level and you're upset and you say, "I want this thing," you won't get there. The moment you say, "I want to be great," that's what I told you, initial choice. You just move into greatness. Everything will walk around greatness. The people, some people come into church and they say, "I want to be a kind of a person." When they meet me and I begin to sharpen the edges, come on. Instead of getting upset, they say, "This is what I want." They get upset too. They lie, all of them used to get upset. They get upset, but they stay because they have that staying power. And so they enter into what they desire. But they prayed it, but God used the man to do it. He never designed that you would achieve it just like that. And so I'm going to show you the place of conflict. Why is it that conflict enters into your life? Take your Bible to Acts 18 quickly. Look at what the Bible says now in verse number 9. Acts 18, 9. I'll show you the scripture before. I don't know whether it's Sunday service or Wednesday service, but it's a very powerful scripture. Acts 18, 9, the Bible says now that the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. "Do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you. For I have many people in this city." So God has many people in the city, but he's saying, "Paul, go and talk."
Are you still here? So those people in the city, let me tell you, they were saying, Lord, we don't know if there's a God up there. If there's a God, reveal yourself to us. Yes, those, he said, I have many people. Not everybody, this everybody was mine. But there are many people who lifted up their hearts and they said, we wanted more than this religion. This Judaism is no longer, yes, there are Muslims sitting down in their Islam and telling themselves, this Muslim something, Lord, if there's a God beyond Islam, reveal yourself. And that's how he sends us. You understand what I'm saying? So, there are many people in that city, but God told Paul to keep quiet. Paul, many people. So, when Paul came into the city, Paul began to preach, he would do great gospel revival, come say, there's a Jesus, and Jesus died, and they will listen. They can either turn to their scribe, Pharisee, and Sadducee to confront them and tell them everything is good, forget that side, or they can listen to Paul. But when they listen to Paul, there will be a crisis. Jonas, do you understand? Once they start listening to Paul and continue listening to his mind, they will sneak and go. The confusion in their heart will increase. It will continue to knock that Judaism thing. But somebody that was praying, oh Lord God, show me. I don't know if you've really been there in your life. Oh Lord God, if you are there, show me. Paul is not saying things that are now making you feel, yes, that Judaism is wrong. Instead of you to now go and hear more and follow and begin to bend, do not say, ah, I beg, oh, I don't want to go and upset my mother and my father. My family religion has been there for too long. We have been here, all of us have been Jews. Do not go back. Then, guess what you pray again in the next day? Lord, Lord, reveal yourself to me. I know that there's something wrong. How do you want him to do it? I explain, I know how you want him to do it. Visions, thunder, lightning, a voice. He doesn't do voices. He sends a man. In this case, he said, Paul, don't keep quiet. He said, no one will hurt you. I have divine protection on you. As you are shielded. Go and speak. I have many people in that city. He could have reached many people by himself, but he does not. So in your move to the next level, and as you approach and you are pressing into greatness, the key is this. There are people that God will bring into your life. They will upset you to your next level. They will begin to tell you things. They will give you information. They will tell you things you did not know before. Because if you want to go to that level, you must know things you did not know before. Do not tell me that I don't know this one before. Why did you come to church? I must tell you something you did not know before. So that you can move to your next, the level you've not been in before. So do you understand why people don't move? They stay, but they pray. They are praying. Take your Bible to Jonah chapter number 3. Jonah chapter number 3. If you've not found it, please look into a friend's Bible so that I can just read. Are you there? We will soon get a projector. I'm dreaming that one. Jonah chapter number 3, verse number 1 says, make it faster for all of us. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. That's exceedingly great too. Huh? Didn't get that joke. 3 days in extent, as in you walk here to here, 3 days you cover the whole city. Try it in Benin. Go to Lagos. A feeling great city. May you come see Benin. You know Benin, they're going to fear. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes, and he caused it to be proclaimed, blah, 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 blah. But you see that the instrument of change for a people who did not want to be destroyed was God sending a message to them. Let me tell you so that you know the story. I can't show you all the story. Two things could happen. they could pick up stones and stone him. But in those people's heart, they will say, we want our city to be perpetually great. In their hearts of hearts, they want their city to be perpetually great. They don't want the sun to go down the city. So somehow, they even went to their God and said, this Nineveh must continue to be a great city. Nineveh must continue to be a great city. We must not go down, we must not decline our greatness. God saw their cry. His solution was not a method. He sent a man. He brought the man to them. And we know what happened to the prophet that he sent to Israel. In Israel, when they prayed and God responded, they stoned the man. They killed their prophet. Everybody said, they said that. Jeremiah came and cried and imprisoned him. I mean, they said they lie. You are prophesying the word of God. It's not even a lie. But they now say, oh God, save us. Oh God, save this city. Jeremiah said, guy, let's put that man in prison. Do you see what I'm trying to say? That God instrument of change in your life. And when we say change, then change that change to the next level, that change into greatness, is that he will bring somebody your way, group of people your way, a company of people your way. These people will create this dissatisfaction inside of you, will create something inside of you, and they will tell you something. You will either stone them or believe them. That is why when I'm stoned, I don't usually bother. I know it is the effect of the message. Somebody will rise up in this church and say, Pastor is a bad person. Pastor is a bad person. I mean, that church, no care, no love, no nothing. The person refused, and most of the time, people that are not like that, there are people who have refused to be changed. I've sat down with people in church and said, I told this lady, I said, listen, we have an order here. You are a great person. You see it in your voice, you see it already. You can do that and do so. I know girls call you this thing, but then you know, say, what's wrong with you? Wait, there's one tragedy. You can't do that. This stuff, you have to do that. Because this is what you want. Pastor, I'm going for a leadership meeting. When we start to create that kind of need to push you for a leadership meeting, do that stuff. Then you leave. When you leave, you're not saying, Pastor, I don't understand the church. They also start that. Do you not wonder where the person is? You know what the person is saying? It's in a company of nobody's. Because nobody will be comfortable with nobody. When I begin to push you and tell you my personal growth story in Christ, you can either receive it and say, I'm going to grow in Christ. Or you will find, that's why today there's an attack on pastors. This is a huge one. Because if you can attack the man, then you can throw away every other thing. Because I'll tell you my ghost story. Somebody told me actually in this church, he said, every time you come and speak, you don't be saying, I. I can't find him right now, planet Earth. Maybe you can Google. You will see him. I. By the time he said it was in a ghost, I'm in the middle of the city, I'm still saying, I. It is nothing. He wants to find something wrong to stone. Nobody picked stone and told me physically today. But they will find something false. See, I listened to your message one Sunday. I'm not saying table. When I am preaching, it's counting. See, I counted the number of eyes used. I mean, I couldn't even count the number of eyes I used. How did you do that? I mean, you couldn't have listened to what I was saying. Most likely I'll be counting eyes. There's no way you can pay attention. There are people in front of me now. Why am I doing wrong? I said, should I use somebody else? I will talk about the problem why and I always use scripture. But if I stay with only Paul and Silas, you won't believe. Because you say that was Paul and Silas in the Bible. The reason why God put somebody in front of you is so that he can see this person and tell you this is the path to walk in it. Because we know they've already said the path is there. But the path is a long story. Huh? Someone has to lead it out for you and say, oh yeah, follow this path. Are you here with me? So, this is the crisis that we must have. In Galatians chapter number 4, the scripture, let's do this. Galatians chapter number 4. I'm finishing it today, so just bear with me. Galatians chapter number 4. So, the question I want to ask you, are you here? I have to be close to you to say this. The question I want to ask you today is, who are you stoning? Who are you against? Check. Oh God, I have no idea. I'll do this next week. I can't finish this thing. This is a deep truth. Do you understand what I'm saying? Find out who you are against. So as you sit here, who are you stoning? One rich man that has a venza by your club, that's your problem. That's the key to your destiny. Do you understand what I'm saying? Once you get angry, you can never enter into that room. Because the man is supposed to show you how. When God called David, he called the family of Jesse. In bringing David, he called Jesse. You can't say David without the family of Jesse. So who are you? Who do you have problem with? And you find out small people that have not gone anywhere. The people they have problem with. They have problem with their brother who has arrived, their uncle abroad, their neighbor who has a car. They have problem with all of you, but if you don't tell them you are selling granite and you have one room and you don't have anything, they are your friend. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't want to do it this week, but I said the whole point there. So find yourself who you are angry with. Because when you start getting angry with pastor, it means that your Christian life has a problem. Because I stand for you as an image of something you want to be, but you don't, you cannot, and because you want to do something else, and you start getting angry with me. They won't answer me. Again, I finished preaching, they are gone. They say this one is talking is a lie. You see, I say everything true to the thing again that is supposed to help you. This is supposed to help. I'm telling you the truth. Stop getting angry with people who don't relax. Don't get angry with me. You can get angry with me all you like. I still generate what I generate. Doesn't nothing happen. You only not know what I know that would have helped you to enter into that level. People come to church angry with their pastor. I know what I'm talking about. How can pastor have this? How can pastor have that? Huh? So when the pastor is preaching, everything I want to say to them to help them be who they should be, they fight it. But they came to church Sunday morning. I was showing something Sunday morning. I said somebody put something up that I highlighted and I showed. I said, I took it. I want to talk to my pastor about it. I said, look how somebody comes to church. He said, I was preparing for paraphrasing. As I was preparing for service, I was watching a program. It put the name on the program there. I was watching a program while preparing for service. I was way into part two before I paused it and went to church. And when I was in church, you won't believe it, I was praying for the people and I didn't even know, I forgot subconsciously that it was a movie I was watching. This thing really happened to me. I mean, real life story. And when you do something like that, what I will do, are you here? Is if I'm allowed to, because you might think I do it to everybody, I don't do it to everybody, I leave people to do whatever they like. There are people that do whatever they like, it's a business. I've been doing people, one of these people, I will call you. I say, sit down. What's wrong with you? I mean, so preparation for service is movie. Eh? You know how I prepare for service? I was up 2 o'clock. You see, I will say Paul. I can't say Paul. I have to tell you I. You know how I prepare for service? I was up 2 o'clock today. I woke up, I struggled. Then I'm praying, I think, God, are you not supposed to be bringing souls for service? Are you not supposed to be thinking of your neighbor to go and try to serve? That's what I'm saying. That's nonsense. I just said, so say, I'm sorry, sir. I mean, it's true, sir. I'm sorry. You know, that's the most important reaction. That's what I'm saying. See, every time you say, I, let me pray, pastor is full of himself. Who does he even think he is? Does he not have errors? Are there any people in church? Does he not have errors? Who does he think he is? And this, let me tell you, after all, people, I have 13 likes. These people not like it. The people who like it are idiots. And they're on the same plane with you. But when you come to church 31st night, your cry is, oh God, make me better this year. And so Pastor Leah came to make you better, but you stole him. God brings everything you need into your sphere. There's nothing you require that is not in your sphere. It's not in your sphere in form of a car. It's in your sphere in form of a human being. It's a human being that's in a car. Do you know what I'm saying? You say, Pastor, what I really need now is a car. What you need now is to listen to the human beings around you. When you listen to them, you enter into a car. If you listen to your bank manager, someone, a reasonable one, I mean, you need to somebody in the office who has gone far. It won't be long before you go far. They will tell you stories. He will tell you stories of his life. He will tell you stories of what he did. How he has reported all this. It will begin to shift you. Either you will near that man more, or you will run away from that man. Because every time you see the man who is pushing into you, he's, what are you doing? You know, they say, what about that thing you were telling me? And I've not still been able to say, no, you're not serious. Like, you don't want to call this like you. Say, that man, they mind, you know, they mind their own business. Now, say, go to the church, they shout, what do you want, my God? I better not be. Then you are saying, come on, sir, you pass. You now wonder why you are where you are. Then you come to church on Sunday morning and say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, oh God, lift me up to my greatness. It's not possible. Also, it's not possible. God don't have tools to use only the people in your life. But when you are saying, Lord, I need to buy a car, he's bringing somebody who will push you to buy a car. Look at what I'm trying to say. Galatians chapter 4, are you there? What it says there? Galatians chapter 4, the Bible says, come on, but somebody help today? Good, good. That's the meaning of church. Galatians chapter number 4, verse number 16. Have I therefore, come on, everybody, want to go? You see that? Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? So what happens to the people who tell you the truth? They become enemies. If you understand this revelation, you move to that level. If maybe somebody is becoming my enemy, I'm asking myself why. Is it because my pastor is greater than I? Am I rebellious just because I want to be rebellious and say, be to a pastor? You see, once I know he's telling me the truth, this guy is telling me the truth. Have I become your enemy? So you want that? Are you here? I'm telling you the key to greatness. Once somebody is becoming your enemy, the devil's key to leaving you where you are. I have to do this, I'm taking too much of your time. It is the devil's ploy to leave you where you are by bringing offense into your hearts. The only way to make you small is to separate you from the people that God has brought into your life to lift you up. That's the only way. It brings offense into your life. So you start becoming the enemy. Once you understand this, you can guide yourself better. Why am I angry with Pastor Ray? You have to say one true question. Why am I angry with Pastor Ray? What did you do? You didn't collect your money. I kept telling you, how can somebody say they are offended? We're not financial, I don't have it. I've never. We'll tell you what we need to do. Tell you what you do. If you do, you do not believe. So why would you be angry with God, Pastor? What gives him a reason? He used to say, I too much. I don't like a pastor that is full of himself. I mean, somebody said that. Then, the church, the way the church is, the praise session is not, I mean, listen, you can find something. If you want to find something, you find it together. Somebody will give you medicine to take. You say, doctor, you know, you take the medicine. If you know they take them, you know they take them. Who goes? Say, I give you medicine. You know they're sick. I don't want to be treated by a doctor when they're sick. You too, they're sick. You say, yeah, they're sick too. Say, hey, if they're sick, I'm sick. Why am I taking this medicine? Will you go to work? I mean, the man is ill. He said, doctor, it's ill. That's the problem. You see, I read, doctor, but this take this vision, this vision. Say, I'm not taking it. You take the thing to help you because it's his job. Whatever errors are in his life, it's him. No business. It's helping you here. Because if you want to probe for errors, into the people's lives that God has brought into you for you to help, you will find. Are you still in church? I'm not just talking about ministry, so don't think I'm trying to buy myself or hide something. I don't have any problem. I mean, in your life, if you meet the man, if the man that will tell you about making money, ask him if he has not lost money. Nobody has the right to tell you about making money if he has not lost money. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Say, all this thing you are telling me, all this principle to make money, all this principle to make money. So I want to ask you one question. Have you lost money before? You lost money before means you cannot tell me how to make money. You want that? You see why people are where they are. If you want to press into greatness, you listen, open up your heart, and stop pressing on people who tell you the truth. But look at this. I'll finish up next week. I'll have to let you go. Have I ever become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They seriously caught you. Huh? But for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you that you may be zealous for them. But it is good to be zealous in a good thing always, and not only when I am present with you, my little children, for whom I labor in bed again until Christ is formed in you. I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you. I'd like to be present with you and do what God guides you, so I'll change my tone. Your friends, they change their tone. No. Paul says, when I come, I'll change my tone. But the person who changes tone to you, what do you say? If I come and change my thoughts, what's wrong with you? Why would you suffer like that? I expect more from you. It's my enemy. But the person that says, it's okay, let's go, I understand. You say, hey! That's why people don't go into greatness. Simple. Are you getting something today? Thank you, Lord.